Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
For a lot of people, they're still curious. Well, how could Malcolm Butler not play in the game?
You know, Bill Belichick's a great coach, and he made good decisions. We all make good decisions. We make bad decisions. Obviously, it didn't work out good for me, him, or the New England Patriots organization, but he called a shot. So, I mean, it is what it is, man.
Malcolm Butler sitting down with the E60 people there from ESPN talking about, well, pretty much everything from Super Bowl up until now. Yes, though?
He just adds more uncertainty to it and keeping it alive. It is what it is, man. He still doesn't know. Or he kind of knows. Are we starting to really find out that it really wasn't anything and this was just Bill's decision?
I don't know how you go from having a guy play 98% of the defensive snaps to not playing him at all. So I am not anywhere close to joining those who say,
yeah, I mean,
there was just no reason. Because if you say no reason, that means it's pure whimsy.
Like
that it was Belichick just saying, you know what? Not today. Not the starting cornerback. Not today. And not only am I not going to start him, he's not going to play at all. And I really don't have any good reason for it. Now, I'm not saying it's a reason you would agree with, or it has to do with some dust up between him and a coach, or that there was some drama involved, but there is still a reason why. There's still a reason. And for anyone who says, no, there's really no reason whatsoever. Oh, so Bill just did something like an entire game plan, all four quarters of the Super Bowl, just on got like gut instinct.
Okay.
He's not going to play at all today.
Okay. The Dallas Cowboys decided to move on from Dez Bryant. Did you see Dez Bryant on Twitter over the last 3 or 4 days? Just went absolutely ape bleep on every single member, every single coach.
Right.
We lined up in the same spot.
Yeah, we're going to get to
this guy. Yeah, we'll get to all that. But you move on because something happened. It's one of the oddest things in all sports that he didn't play a single snap and yet was rewarded with the type of contract from a guy that you regard very highly, and Mike Vrabel and John Robinson, who runs the team down there. So maybe it's just that Bill decided, like, I'm not going to play him. I'm not going to play him. And you got to deal with it. You got to deal with it. And those guys know Bill, meaning Vrabel and Robinson more so than anybody, that there's no incident. There's no problems with Malcolm.
We
like him as a player. Jesus, the guy's out there every snap, 98% of them. We're going to bring this guy in and make him a part of our team and put him opposite Logan Ryan, who we also know was there in love for 4 years. Like, this is one of the oddest things in sport where a guy doesn't play in the biggest stage but gets rewarded the way you did in the offseason.
Right.
And still,
one
is going to do interviews. Like, you know, I really respect him, and he makes good decisions, bad decisions. We all make bad decisions in life, but hey, it didn't work out, you know? Like, if something, and I see everybody thinks an incident happened that week prior, because that's the only thing that could happen in 2 weeks. You don't go from playing against Jacksonville every single snap to not playing unless something happened.
Okay, so they asked Malcolm Butler. Beyond that opening statement that we just heard, or that initial cut, okay, so what was going on that week? What was going on? Here's what he said.
I just say preparation is the best way to win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe, you know, they didn't see 100% mentally or physically Malcolm Butler that they usually see.
But to confirm, you felt you were healthy enough
to play
the whole game.
Most definitely. Yeah. 100%. I was healthy. Yes, sir.
Then why did he have the physical part of it now?
They saw something.
Well, but it was always mentally. Malcolm may have not mentally been locked in, I think was the phrase that they used in the offseason. For one reason or another, Malcolm Butler was not. They saw something where he wasn't 100% locked in.
No, they didn't say it. He said it.
He said it.
Twice now.
But he said mentally. Now it's physically. But then he was asked, were you physically right? That's why I think that was a good follow-up question.
If the visual, too, on this one is when you see him answering the question, he's slapping his legs and he's kind of uncomfortable. And then when he's asked about being healthy, he said, oh, yeah, absolutely, without any hesitation.
So it's mental. Something.
Something happened. Something something was there.
It doesn't excuse
him not playing in the second half, but something was there.
Does he shake his head no when he says, absolutely, I was 100%, or does he not? Because that's a telltale sign.
I don't know. Have to review the tape.
Ask me if I'm 100% right in my head right now.
Are you 100% right in your head right now? Are you done with anything?
Absolutely. I'm not floating around?
I have completely focused.
I'm fine.
Really?
No!
I come in every day like that, right? What are you going to do it before hours a day doing this stuff? But I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, for people that listen to our program, that expect us to have answers, or expect us to ask the questions. I know everybody's like, oh, thank God Shaughnessy asked the question. Dad said I wouldn't be doing my... It is sort of the reason, it's sort of the question that everybody wants to know. It's not really Brady and Edelman and, you know, the Guerrero stuff we started with Volan.
A little bit.
It's Malcolm Butler.
It is Malcolm Butler. That is number one.
It is July 30th.
Okay, how about this?
They're 4 days old of camp, and we are still talking about Malcolm Butler.
Why are you crying during the anthem, Malcolm Butler? What was all that about? Sobbing, practically uncontrollably, being consoled by teammates and coaches. It is just a blubbering mess on the sideline during the anthem, the pregame anthem at the Super Bowl.
I know that moment that still comes up on video with you crying during the national anthem, you know, while that came on. What was going through your mind?
Just a great moment and a kind of awkward moment. And, you know, probably going to be like my last game, stuff like that. You know, just thinking about how blessed I was. But it was a tough time. It was a learning time. And it's good now. I moved forward. I moved on. So, you know, I really, you know, I'm trying to deflect your questions.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, you're giving me DB. Yeah, the lockdown DB treatment.
Yeah. Is that a great moment for him?
Was that a marquee?
It was a great moment
for the interview.
It was a great moment.
I can tell you that.
You know what was a great moment for Malcolm Butler? Malcolm, go. Plant that back foot. When you see the motion come across, you plant, you break on the slant route because it's coming, and you pick it up. That was a great moment.
Jump the route just like we did in practice.
He said a learning moment, too. Didn't he say that within that?
It was a tough time. It was a learning time.
So he was told he was being punished for a reason. You learn when you're punished, right?
It's a learning
time. When you punish your kids and you scold your kids at home, do they sit there and say, great moment, Dad, thanks. This is awesome. And I'm yelling to my kid, catch the ball, squeeze it with both hands. That's a learning moment, you know what I mean? But I mean, ducks the head, starts tearing up, and then he catches it. Like, yes. When you scold your kids, do they thank you for having a learning moment?
No.
They react the way he did. You tear up. You did something wrong. You were told about it. I really think he was told in pregame or when they were in the locker room, you're not playing. Because I saw a different Malcolm Butler warming up.
Of course.
That's why you had that reaction. That wasn't a great moment. He's trying to, and I get it. That's a tough question for him to answer.
You watched warm-ups. I know you weren't keyed in on Malcolm Butler.
I talked to Malcolm Butler.
You were watching it. Did he seem off?
No. Headphones on. He's doing the same warm-up. He always did this warm-up in the back end line in one of the end zones where he'd go up and elevate with one hand, two hands, trying to keep the feet in, simulating intercepting a fade route. And the same thing. And he's doing the cuts and the sprint, and he's got his headphones on. He's bumping. He's smiling. He's high-fiving guys. That's not the action of a guy that 25 minutes later is tearing up a national anthem because of the moment. Because, wow, something happened, and I blew it. It's a learning moment.
So he said he had to move on. He tried to learn from it. He's trying to do all
this.
Which
tells you something happened.
Of course. So it got to be some bad blood between him and the coach, you would think.
This could be just between he and the coach, and this is why.
Well, they asked him, what about the bad blood?
I got a call from Bill Belichick. You know, he told me, congratulations, you're with a good team, good organization. I know those people, and thank you for everything you've done. You know, I appreciate it. No bad blood between me and Bill Belichick.
Interesting. You're getting a good coach, a good team, a good organization. That sounds familiar. Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh, he did him a favor.
Wow. So all of a sudden, Bill called a player or texted, and people are hammering Bill for texting Garoppolo. Now all of a sudden he's calling Malcolm Butler after he makes $32 million. But he didn't take the contract here. I thought Bill didn't like him because he didn't take the money here. So maybe Bill's in more contact with players that were here at one time because Maybe he does like the player. Maybe he does. Hey, Malcolm helped him win a Super Bowl. Bill had the guts to go with an undrafted rookie in that spot, and he knows it paid dividends.
Malcolm helped you win a Super Bowl
Malcolm
and
said
filled
that.
The
he
void
went for, to me. You
and
know?
Filled the void for Darrelle Revis after he left that year.
Malcolm played at a high level.
And Malcolm played for 2 years at the highest level imaginable, and he was your starting corner. I mean,
it's disappointing. It's disappointing because, you know, you had the wherewithal to bring the guy in and see some value there and some worth. And then you groom him for 4 years, and somehow you guys didn't find a way to make the contract work. Because that's the ultimate Patriot-type story. It's the Edelman, you know, the undrafted guy, or the late pick. And here all of a sudden, or the Chris Hogan. You know, I mean, two of your starting receivers are Edelman and Chris Hogan, two overachievers, right, that other teams really wouldn't give chances to. But you gave Butler that chance, and I thought he responded. I thought he competed really hard when he was out there. It wasn't perfect. He had issues against taller guys. Malcolm was short in stature. He didn't play with the same kind of height that Darrelle Revis or Ty Law did in their careers here, but he busted his ass. And he was out there every snap, and he practiced. And I thought, you get paid for that type of stuff here. It just didn't work out.
All right, we're going to take your calls on this. 617-779.
Still talking about
0985. More Malcolm Butler to share with you as I fill in for a Beatle here. It's Zolak and me, Hardy, on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beatle, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'll just say preparation is the best way to win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe, you know, they didn't see 100% mentally or physically Malcolm Butler that they usually see.
But to confirm, you felt you were healthy enough
to play
the whole game.
Most definitely. Yeah. 100%. I was healthy. Yes, sir.
Great rejoin. You know why I like this one even more now? Felger and Maz hate it.
They hate this song?
Railed on it. Yes. Last week, they never, ever comment on the music. It's the only one I've ever heard him comment.
Well, I don't know what Felger wants in, because he doesn't like the ones that are too heavy. He doesn't like he calls them all metal.
There's no heavy metal.
Oh,
there's
the
no heavy metal. Can't do a heavy metal.
Like this. It's triggering me.
So you can't do heavy metal. Can't do Prince. What do you want? Pearl Jam all the time? Should we just do Glorify G for every rejoin? Would that make him happy?
Yeah, they'd probably be happy with that.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Beatles, 617-779-0985, talking about Malcolm Butler. The thing with Malcolm Butler is, though, and you've talked to him, I've talked to him a couple of times, mm-hmm. He's a nice guy. He is obviously a player that kind of came onto the scene, and, you know, his big coming out party was at the Super Bowl against Seattle, and he essentially...
Super Bowl 49 made him.
Turn that game around.
Super Bowl 49 made him a household name.
And then took that, and he had a hiccup the following season when he missed his flight back due to weather. But after that, not only filled in admirably as a starting cornerback, but excelled and played well. And the one thing that you could say about Malcolm Butler, I think, you know, game after game, season after season, is that... And I wish you were 2 inches taller. But other than that, you know, what was wrong with him as a player? As a guy who was out there talking to the media and handling himself in interviews, he is not the most media savvy guy. So these answers are far from what you would put together with a PR team and your agent and all this stuff. You know, he's answering one way. He kind of goes back on it. He's kind of all over the place. That's just not who he is as a person. And quite frankly, for all that we saw of him and all that he did here is with the Patriots, he was never called upon to address the media all that often.
No, yeah, no, you know, no. People just really didn't go to him for a media soundbite either. Right. You know, it's just, right. There wasn't that intrigue there until this all came to be. And the reason I like him so much is when you hear me talk about Antonio Brown from the Seahawks, I think he's the best receiver in the league. Although Malcolm has had some of his best games against that guy and competed against him, even though that first time he faced him, I think Antonio lit him up for like 11 catches for over 100 yards, but he was in his hip pocket every play. And Brown was making like crazy, crazy ass catches that first time. And behind the neck, one-handed grabs. He had a touchdown catch where Malcolm had perfect coverage. And I'm like, okay, this guy can play. This guy can play at a high level. And that's where he said, okay, we got to make him your number one corner for a while here. And it never came to be. But maybe they offered him more and thought he should have taken it. Malcolm probably thought he was worth Gilmore money. And that's probably why they're in the spot they're in right now. But somebody else valued him. Again, Bill called an ex-player. Think about that. Why did he call that player? He liked that player. In the back of his head, he knew Malcolm helped him get another ring and gave him 4 good years of effort. I think Bill appreciates that. Now, they didn't come to terms on money. But for you to call the player after the other team signed him, you're getting a good coach. You're getting a good organization. You're on a good team.
See, you say
that's like the same stuff he told Garoppolo.
Tell me that doesn't surprise you, though. And maybe this is protocol.
It does after everybody, you know, last week was convinced it's just only for Jimmy he did that. And maybe he does that for players he likes.
But if it's protocol, and if you don't come to terms with a player, and that player goes off and plays for one of your former guys, who is now the head coach, and he's playing with, you know, a coordinator that you've worked with, and he's going to what you feel is a good team and a good situation, and he is being not only accepted but rewarded by another team, it almost feels like, and again, I'll use the word protocol,
yeah,
for Bill Belichick or the head coach to put a phone call into that player is almost like an exit interview with me. This is our personal thank you, good luck, you're going to a good spot, goodbye. I don't want to turn it into, hey, these guys are actually friends. He likes this guy. Otherwise, why would he call him?
He calls everybody. He calls probably more people than he gets credit for calling.
Yes.
And people try to term it as he just only calls Garoppolo.
To the point where it would have stuck out and it would have been a story had he not called him. Malcolm, what have you had to say since you signed your contract with the Tennessee Titans and you're not a patron anymore? What did Coach Belichick have to say? Nothing. I haven't talked to him. Now it's a story. Now Bill puts in a phone call and says, hey, man, that's a great contract. Good for you. That's a good team. Good luck to you. Thanks, Coach. Goodbye.
So next time Bill talks, is he going to get asked the question, hey, Bill, you know, not only did you text Jimmy Garoppolo, but how many other players do you contact? You know, Malcolm said you called him. Can we not talk? And Bill's going to be like, can we just get past the Butler thing? Can we just get past it?
It almost reeks of like fake niceties, you know? Oh, I'm going to put in a phone call to Malcolm Butler.
Bill doesn't just do that. Bill's taking the time to do it. I think he cares about the player.
Then why didn't he play him in the Super Bowl?
He's trying to teach him a lesson.
About what?
I don't know.
You teach him a lesson by sitting him out the entire game?
See, what that tells you, though, as much as he didn't even talk about Wes Walker when Wes Walker left, remember, the player, when he hit Aqib Talib.
Well, we know he didn't like Walker.
Dirtiest hits by the player. But he benched him during your number one seeded year when you were playing the Jets in the divisional round, benched him, then put him in at some point during that game in that second quarter. So whatever happened between he and Malcolm was worse than whatever Walker did.
Infinitely worse.
And he didn't really like the player, Walker. I mean, we kind of understand that, right?
Right. But that one, I would not be surprised to find out. No, I have never spoken with Bill Belichick.
But he still played that guy because he knew he needed him against the Jets. Or was there Justin overlooking the Eagles that may have been built into this too because of who the quarterback was and who the running back was and who the receivers are? Maybe there wasn't a respect for the Eagles there. Maybe they overlooked the Eagles a little bit here. And that's part of, you know, that just, I don't want to say multiplied the severity of the error of not playing him. I don't know. But we're sitting here doing another hour and a half on Malcolm.
And Welker was benched for one possession.
It was a quarter. Was it a quarter?
Well, it may have ended up being a quarter.
Yeah, you probably only had the ball for a little bit.
He received the punt after the Jets' opening drive. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how many plays they ran, but they punted. Welker was out there to receive the punt. Patriots took the field. Edelman was lined up in his spot. So for that series, for however long that...
So he played special teams like Butler did. So
however long that possession lasts, how many ever plays, Welker didn't play. The next time the Pats got the ball, he was in.
Okay.
Way different. Much different benching. I mean, they're not even on the same planet.
That's a playoff game. That's a divisional playoff game. You advance to the AFC Championship if you win it. The other one's a Super Bowl. That's just too... This isn't like it was a regular season game when you bench Walker. I mean, we're going to roll the dice here and bench him at the beginning of the game. But then we're just not going to play Malcolm in a Super Bowl.
Until we get an answer, people are always going to ask. And Malcolm Butler
We know what Welker did. He Bill told the team, don't give the other team any stuff to go off. And he made fun of Rex Ryan. And we had fun with it. You had the ding button in the old studio. Ding, 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 ding. Every time he mentioned feet. So at least there's a track record to say there's something we can look back and say, that's the, here's the punishment based on what we don't want you to do and how we want you to act. So it tells you there was something at least four times more egregious than what that was. Right?
Right.
What the hell could it have been?
I don't know.
And was it just nothing?
No one will say.
Maybe I just wasn't locked in.
Maybe.
Listen
to what Malcolm Butler said. He said maybe it was a lack of preparation. Maybe they didn't see. Maybe they saw something from me physically.
Would you put your helmet on backwards? The Wednesday practice of Super Bowl? Do you put your pads in the wrong way?
But Butler said, he's like, maybe they saw something from me physically. Oh, how did you feel?
I felt great. You couldn't.
I'll just say preparation is the best way to win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe, you know, they didn't see 100% mentally or physically Malcolm Butler that they usually see.
But to confirm, you felt you were healthy enough
to play
the whole game.
Most definitely. 100%. I was healthy. Yes, sir.
This only makes it worse.
You could have had two different tones of answering a question right there as far as, okay, when you see somebody getting asked a question, we're going to read the person. We're going to read the tone. We're going to read the body language. Kind of sounds like he's him and ha and the other, and we're dancing around it. So you were all set physically. Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, most definitely.
Good to go.
Preparation. What does that mean, so? We know he was sick. We know that he wasn't there for probably all the meetings.
Here's what it is, too.
The practices.
Was he sick?
Hospitalized in Boston was the report that we got.
Which hospital? We knew where Brady got his hand
CVS
on.
CVS Quick Care.
You knew Brady was
know.
In Sharon getting a hand stitched up, right? Felger had that one. At some point, it comes out. I mean, they travel with the top medical people all the time. You wouldn't know what hospital he's in, right? Hey, Malcolm Butler checked in. He was dehydrated. We were pumping him with fluids for, you know, 12 hours. They picked him up from the hospital, got him on a plane. Or did you just leave Malcolm back to take care of himself? You want to go see the doctor? Go see the doctor. There's some weirdness to the beginning of that week. There really is. That's what you got to circle.
All right, a couple of your thoughts on Malcolm Butler as we roll on.
You know that here. I mean, real quick, that's one of the coolest things. You're getting ready to go to a Super Bowl. You got everything. You know, everybody's dropping off luggage. The excitement of getting on a plane. You put your suit on. You get your travel gear. You know, you're getting all your tickets square. You can't wait to get there. This is day one, and he's not with the team doing that. There's something going on.
So a couple of your calls on this, and then Sean Silver is going to give us the Red Sox weekend minute. The silver streak, we're going to call it. We're going to give you like 90 seconds to recap the Red Sox weekend there, Sean Silver.
Are you able to find anything, Silver?
On the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They had a pretty good weekend, though.
Yeah, good.
All right. We're going to let you update us on all that stuff here in a few minutes. If you're willing to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Very happy to help out.
Thank you. We'll do that now.
Sports Hub headlines.
Those very same Red Sox took 3 out of 4 from the Twins over the weekend. Boston got 3 runs batted in from J.D. Martinez, 7 dominant innings from new acquisition Nathan Eovaldi. They got a 5.5 game lead over the Yankees in the AL East. They'll start a 2-game interleague set with the Phillies coming to town at Fenway. David Price on the mound opposite Aaron Nola. Nola 12-3 with a 2.42 ERA coming in. Patriots receiver Jordan Matthews reportedly expected to miss a few days training camp after tweaking his hamstring. Running back Sony Michel getting plenty of reps so far. He was asked about his experience as a rookie.
Learning. When you make a mistake, try not to make that mistake again, but just keep moving forward. Just try to get better and better each day.
Pats training camp continues tonight under the lights. It's their annual practice for season ticket holders. On the PGA Tour, Dustin Johnson, your champion of the Canadian Open, and Joseph Peruzovic, known as the legendary WWE bad guy Nikolai Volkov. He passed away yesterday, 70 years of age. The Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's new 4 for $4 has more choices than ever. I'm Sean Silver, Boston Over Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update's at noon.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Man, a 1-2. Left center field, on the move, Jackie Bradley. Lunging, diving, going, man, the play! And he slams into the wall! A sliding stab on a great, great catch by Jackie Bradley. At the crack of the bat, it no way on earth he was going to run that down, but he did.
No, and look at Eovaldi, the pitcher. I mean, he's standing there just clapping. Welcome to the Red Sox when you've got Jackie Bradley in center field. Like that catch right there is one of the best I've ever seen.
He's getting a standing ovation here. Goodness gracious. And paid the price.
One of the best catches Remy had ever seen, Zoe. Is that a hyperbole or is that legit?
Does he say that every 5 to 7 games?
Well, for the answer, we go to Sean Silver, who is a seam head. He loves the baseball.
Yeah.
And he's going to give us the Red Sox Minute from all the goings on over the weekend.
Red Sox Minute. Well, that was a great catch. We've seen some great catches in Red Sox history. You know, Coco Crisp laying out in center field. I'm sure Fred Lynn had
Fred Lynn
more
was
than a few.
Good.
You know, Dwight Evans pulling it back from the bullpen in the World Series. So I don't know if it's the greatest catch that these guys have ever seen, but pretty good. Helping out the cause.
What did Adam Jones say this morning? What did Adam Jones call it this morning?
I must have missed that. It was probably something negative.
You're using up most of your minute on this one catch.
Nathan Eovaldi, all right? Usually when the Sox make a deadline trade, right, it's for a pitcher. It's just some guy. You know, I wrote something. I got to plug it. 985thesportshub.com. You're on there too, Hardy.
I am.
Wrote something last week about Red Sox pitching acquisitions at the deadline.
I read a golf column.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he does.
Thanks for reading it.
And, you know, it's usually like your Kent Merker or, you know, your Paul Bird, if you can take some of those blasts from the past there. One year it was Jake Peavy, which was great. But Eovaldi goes out, acquits himself very nicely. 7 shutout innings. First Red Sox pitcher to make his debut and throw 7 shutout innings since all the way back when Chris Sale did it a year and a half ago. It was against the Twins.
Are they any good?
No, they are. Okay. They are horrible. They're trading off everything. So they take 3 out of 4 in the series. But again, it's the Twins. Now, you got the Phillies. Phillies can score some runs. They got Aaron Nola on the hill this week, tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the Yankees later this week. So
August 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Right.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend. You know, J.D. Martinez just piling on the stats.
Not a fun weekend.
Jackie Bradley Jr. getting some hits. Nunez is banging out some singles, getting on base. Obviously nice to see the new pitcher come to town and do well. Nice. But the proof will be in the pudding of this week.
That's very good, Sean.
Yeah. How's the eighth inning been going? Pretty good?
Well, you pitched Matt Barnes yesterday when you probably didn't really have to. He's been your only reliable reliever, and deadline's tomorrow.
The Twins pitching against him.
Deadline's tomorrow, so we'll see if they add a reliever.
And the big walk-off win, what was it, Friday night?
That was Friday night, yeah.
Fantastic finish in that game.
Exactly.
Again, didn't have to happen like that.
Was that Betts again?
Bullpen was.
Devers in the 9th and then Betts in the 10th because, Kimbrel had to come in the 8th inning and he was overworked and 9th inning came around.
The bullpen is going to be the undoing of this team, isn't it?
It's going to be tough. Now, Sean McAdam wrote something over at Boston Sports Journal this weekend talking about how Houston won the World Series last year, and that was by putting a lot of good starting pitchers in the pen and then just using them willy-nilly because they knew they didn't have a closer who could lock it down. Now, the Sox do, but if you're talking about the 7th and 8th inning, maybe you're putting, maybe a healthy Eddie Rodriguez out there, maybe if he gets back. Maybe you're putting Eovaldi out there or Drew Pomeranz even out of the bullpen. Maybe. I'm just saying. I'm not saying
that. I don't want to hear his name.
Not saying I endorse it. I'm saying maybe that's an approach
if
that they
take. If you're going to follow the blueprint that the Astros used. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Potentially.
Good. All right. Thanks, Sean Silver.
Nice job. You got it.
Good stuff. It's good. I like having Silver in here.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I won't let it go to my head.
No.
It's hard to get compliments from you, Hardy, so I'll take that.
That's not true.
Oh, yeah?
Where does that come from?
We worked together a lot over the weekends, you know?
Well, how often have you complimented me?
I have told you many times that I greatly enjoy your work. You're an asset to the station.
Yeah, I think we talk to each other like normal human boys. I don't think there's a lot of praise.
We're both fans of the Gin Blossoms.
That's true. That we could talk about. Let's go to the phones here, Sal. We're going to get back to Tom Brady and Malcolm Butler and all that stuff. Okay. And, of course, the Red Sox continue to be a story. I kind of did that in jest, the Red Sox. We could talk 4 hours on the Red Sox, but it's all, for the most part, positive. This team keeps rolling on. And
right.
To their credit, there's not a lot of drama. There's not a there.
Well, there was drama Friday night. You know, you're in danger of losing to the Twins,
but they didn't. But they That's didn't. The point. Exactly. You know, this bullpen, as bad as it is, they're still on an historic pace. What's that, what's their win total right now?
74.
74 wins, and we're not even into
more
August.
Wins than any other team.
It's seven more than any other team. 74 wins, and it's July 30th. So
I think Mass had this tweet the other day. I think it was after the walk off. That the Yankees would have to finish 47-12 if the Red Sox continued on their current pace.
Yeah.
The Yankees would have to finish the season 47-12 to have a chance to overtake them. I mean, that's saying something. So I think they're 5.5 back right now?
5.5, yep.
I don't know what the matchups are or the head-to-head, but if they could find a way to get it to 4.5 before they come to Boston.
And you're in shouting distance.
Judge is going to be out of the lineup for at least two more weeks.
He's four. Crack bone.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Crack bone in your wrist. It didn't sound like 3 weeks from the beginning.
Oh, but he is superhuman.
But, you know, Devers injured on the base paths again. I think he hurt himself in spring training barreling somebody over on the base paths.
Swire got his first start there, right? They say stick him in a place where he can't screw it up.
You got two hits, I guess.
All right. So we've got more Tom Brady and Malcolm Butler to get to. Quickly, we're going to go to Andrew in New Bedford. He's been holding for a long time. Andrew, thanks for your patience.
Thanks for hanging, bud.
Hey, what's going on, Adi? What's up,
how you doing? What's up?
Good. Just wondering about Tom Brady's confidence and stuff, you know, with all the stuff going on, the Butler deal. You know, is he still confident on the field and he's going to portray that this year?
I haven't seen any dip watching him for 4 days. It's same status quo Tom Brady.
Glad you brought it up, Andrew. The difference in the comments between last offseason, this offseason, that's the first thing I thought, confidence. But then Zoe said, no, you watch him at training camp, he's the same Brady doing everything out there that, you know, there's no hesitation.
There's no isolation where people are critical of him 2 years ago. Remember when he would have a bad throw or something, he would go and be on one knee and people said he was sulking? I think those were bogus reports, too. You see him working with guys off to the side, meaning talking to them. Okay, mm-hmm. You see the manners since he's pointing. Like, I want you to kind of keep it skinny this way and then cut across, you know. And he's trying to teach them.
Yeah.
You know, in between drills, and he's the young kids. Because I think what Brady's looking at right now, and maybe some of the concern is, Jesus, you know, here we are. Matthews pulls up lame. He had a hammy. You know, Kenny Britt's been nursing his hammy since freaking the beginning of June. And sometimes when you get these hammies, these things don't go away with some of these guys. But he's like, we got a lot of people there. Just don't know who's in the huddle. Who's in the huddle tonight when they break the huddle? Is it Chris Hogan and Dorsett? Is it Chris Hogan and Patterson? His top two guys? I mean, think about that. Okay, there I am with Gronkowski. And maybe, you know, let's throw the rookie in there, see what he's got. Sony Michel. Let's throw him in there, rep one, see how he responds. So like, there's a lot of testing that's going on now to where Brady's got to get used to it. And maybe there's some hesitancy there. I think that's part of it. But you know what people are going to be critical of now, and this is where he's going to hear it. Well, you weren't here in the OTAs. You weren't here in the offseason to blend and get your rhythm down with these guys. It's like you're trying to play catch-up right now.
Right. The number of
receptions.
You like
ketchup on your hot dog?
No, thank you. The number of receptions from all the other receivers on the roster right now, I saw this over the weekend. Welker is the all-time, you know, receptions leader from Brady. It's Gronkowski. It's Edelman.
Right.
You pool all the other guys together. You know, Welker had like 400 or 500, whatever the number is. You probably know off the top of your head, Zoe. Gronkowski is approaching 400 receptions. Everybody else, aside from those three guys, they combine for like 111. Everyone else is on this
combined
roster.
You take that, you take Edelman and Hogan out of it, because I mean, there's some production there. Obviously,
take Hogan out of it, and it's good grief.
Yeah,
not a lot. Yeah. So they're working on a lot of stuff during camp. We have a couple of people who think they know why Butler didn't play.
Oh,
I wonder if it's something we've heard before. We'll find out when we talk with Mike in Dorchester next.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
I feel so much pain in my head. My rock and roll. Love singing stuff. Got one guitar.
This is the best track on Nirvana.
What the hell is this?
My girl, don't lie to me. Tell me, where did you sleep?
sleep last night.
Oh, see, you know.
I've heard this before.
Oh, you can feel his pain.
This is a Leadbelly cover. This song is 100 years old.
I feel like I walked in some VFW and you got some dude in the back just driving.
This is the last song you would ever hear being played in a VFW. What are you talking about?
My dog died last week. Girl, don't sleep in my house no more. And my truck don't work.
This could be a hit country song right now,
yes,
probably.
It never clicked with me. I don't know why.
No way, Jim, because they don't mention trucks.
Take this song
they don't
out
mention
misery.
A specific brand of beer, and there's no obvious Spain. Commercial tie-in. So it could not be a new country song.
I just feel so much pain. Pain in my head.
The question I posed over
Voices
the weekend.
Are talking to me again.
On Twitter.
Yes.
Was, what band do you wish you would have seen back in the day? And I did this in conjunction with the little rock and roll show I do over there on the Lithium channel, right? So I listed three, and then I left room for other. What band do you wish you would have seen back in the day? Nirvana, Beastie Boys, Sublime, and then other. So far, we've got like 1,200 votes on this.
I screwed this up because I voted for the Beastie Boys, and that's the only band that I saw. So your question was which one? Because I like the Beastie Boys so much, I wanted to vote because I wanted to like boost their number on your poll. I was like, I never saw Nirvana. I didn't see Sublime, but Sublime would be my second choice. And Beastie Boys would be first, but I did see the Beastie Boys. I saw the Beastie Boys with LL Cool J and Run DMC at the Pittsburgh Civic Arena, which ended quickly halfway through the concert because of a riot broke out.
Beastie Boys.
I took my gold chains off and I ran out, and we were running in the streets. Because I had three gold chains on with my high school number on.
How old were you, do you think?
Junior, high school.
15, 16, something like that? Okay.
I was running fast.
And Beastie Boys opened up for Madonna for a time.
That's weird.
They were on that Run DMC, LL Cool J. They toured with Public Enemy.
Houdini was there, too.
Yeah. So they did tours, but I tried to pick three that you will never see. Like Nirvana, that's it. You know, they're not going to have somebody fill in for Kurt. Beastie Boys have said, no, that's it. After MCA died, no more Beastie Boys. They're putting out a big book this fall, like a 600-page, like, comprehensive history, photos, all kinds of stuff. It's going to be this huge Beastie Boys volume. But the that's it. Beastie Boys Live won't happen again. Mm. Sublime, Bradley Knoll, the lead singer, died right when that band was breaking big.
I didn't know that.
They've gone on and toured as, like, the Long Beach Dub All-Stars or Sublime with such and such. But, you know, in terms of Sublime, and a lot of people dig that
band. Give me Sublime, Jim. It's a good feeling. That's good feeling music,
yeah,
man.
Sublime. I myself am not a huge Sublime fan.
It's not reggae. It's not rock and roll. Something got messed up.
It's messed up all right. But, right now, Nirvana, 43% of the vote, 31% for Beastie Boys, 15% Sublime, and then 11% other. A lot of people saying, and the Beastie Boys, you had your chances, you know, for years.
You're so good. So many good albums.
So I'm surprised a lot of people voting Rage Against the Machine. A lot of people voting for Alice in Chains, even though they're still touring, but without Layne Staley. So you really got to think about this.
Yes. I ain't got no crystal ball. Look at you, Silver. How do people boost your Nirvana?
I'm not too cool to like Sublime or a couple of songs. All my friends in high school listen to it.
So do you want to change your votes, though?
No.
You're sticking with Beastie Boys, even though
you
saw
what?
Them.
I screwed it up. I'll vote for Sublime.
Okay.
Wow.
Who would you vote for, Jim? Mr. Party Man?
I think Nirvana would be an experience.
I think Nirvana would.
Would it, Jim? Would it really?
Fair or not, they are the face of grunge. They are the face of the last great movement in rock and roll.
I went to the Grateful Dead concert just for the experience.
You're a weirdo. You're a weirdo. What about the intern kid?
Just for the experience.
What about the kid with the spiked hair, the intern? Well, who would he vote for?
I keep calling him Colin, but I think his name is Austin.
He says Other.
What is
Other?
His name?
He wouldn't even... Colin.
So who's your other Colin?
Yeah, who's your other?
No, his name is Austin. What's his name?
Colin.
Oh, okay. All right.
You're like me now.
Let me think about it, he said.
Does it have to be a 90s era
band? It says everything that's wrong about The Intern.
No, but it has to be a band that you would have been, like a lot of people are voting Led Zeppelin. Well, yeah. I would not have had the opportunity to see Led Zeppelin as because a two-year-old.
Yeah, what about the Beach Boys and Brian Wilson?
Like, Brian Wilson still goes
rocking,
out.
But you're looking for, but see, BC Boys aren't rock and roll.
No, it can be anyone. You could say Beach Boys, but I think you would be BC disappointed. Look, Beach Boys, Pet Sounds, that was like studio artistry. I don't know you'd be able to recapture that. I think Rage Against the Machine would have been a great choice back in the day. I don't know why they don't really.
Milli Vanilli.
There's some studio artistry you can recreate. Just play it back.
Tough to get that captured live.
So it's a band that you had to have the opportunity to see. You know, you were in your teens or your 20s, yeah, and you just missed
crossover.
It.
Yes. You just missed ideally, it. Yes. Because a lot of people were voting Pink Floyd, too. I'm like, I don't care that I ever saw Pink Floyd. I would have liked to have seen The Who with Keith Moon. But, again, I was way too young. I wouldn't have been able to do
it. But that Red Sox announcer, Dave O'Brien, when he was doing that ad for Bush and Stone and Temple Pilots.
Oh, that show is tonight.
Yes. That is tonight. It's like they're going to be people that say, boy, I never saw either one of those bands. But I've listened to those bands, and I blew the opportunity to see them live locally.
But that's what I think a lot of people feel that way about Alice in Chains. But Alice in Chains still tours, and apparently their lead singer is really good. But I'm not as interested in seeing Alice in Chains without Layne Staley. Mm. I'm going to see Stone Temple Pilots tonight with their new lead singer, Jeff Groot.
You're going.
I saw them a few years ago with Chester Bennington, and now he's
Chester's
out too.
Gone. Yeah. Some people voted Linkin Park. So you can say, point being this, you can still vote right now. I've got it up there. Zoe, why don't you retweet the poll so more people see it?
Intern says Red Hot Chili Peppers, by the way.
You can go see them tomorrow. What's the matter with him? What line? Oh, no.
His last concert he went to was Post Malone.
I don't even know who that is. Intern.
I respect
What lineup of Red Hot Chili Peppers do you wish you could have seen? Because they have had a change in lineup, at least in the guitarist position. So what lineup would you want to see? I'm not going to put you on the spot. Just give me an era.
Danny California opening.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can see that lineup.
2006 era Peppers.
Yeah, yeah.
What have you accomplished today? What's your short-term goal for the day? Other than finding the building.
No love for the Dave Navarro era.
What has he done for the show today?
John
Frusciante. Give me three things that he's done since he's been
Hillel.
Here for the 3 hours.
Hillel.
Yeah.
He didn't get Sean Silver as sponsors for the day.
That's cool. No problem.
He's been answering phones.
Phones have been lit.
I had to go tell him to get a cover on his cup of water that he had in here. Get a cup of water without the lid on it.
T-Bone just took the microphone back.
He's millennials. Millennials.
Give me that.
Let's go, people.
All right, let's...
blame the parents.
Let's talk about what we started the show with, Zoe, and that is Ben Volen talking to Tom Brady over the weekend at Pat's training camp. Tom Brady's storming off after he asked him about the Julian Edelman PED, Alex Guerrero connection. We'll take your calls on that and everything else. 617-779-0985. 90 seconds, no commercials.